We're going to stay in Isaiah this evening, so if you want to turn to Isaiah. I was in high school, going to a public school, very similar to Shoals High School in here. Just a small country, small community. A lot of farm kids involved. Maybe a little bit larger than Shoals. I think we had 70-something in our graduating class, but maybe Shoals does too at times. But I was brought up a lot more strict than most people. I wasn't allowed to go to the ball games. But the pep assemblies kind of influenced a desire to be there, because at the pep assemblies they would allow the ball team, the ball players, to come out and perform or show off. You know, there was alley-oops and dunks and all fancy sorts of fancy stuff going on for the basketball team. And they were fixing to play the weakest team in the league. And so that pep assembly was pretty lively as the ball players were preparing to put a whooping on that weakest team. And something inside of me said, why don't you go? You want to see them so bad dunk all night long. And so I slipped out of the house and I went to the ball game. Dad began to wonder where I was. He stepped outside the house, and we didn't live too far from Pymatuning Reservoir. A lot of geese down there, and he could hear the geese talking, and he thought perhaps he heard something that didn't quite sound like a natural goose. And so he thought, well, maybe that's just John down there talking, fooling around with the geese. So he went back in the house. He was troubled in his spirit. He went back outside and said, I don't know. I don't think that's John. I was sitting up in the bleachers in the gym, and I saw him walk in that side door, walk across to somebody that he knew, and said, have you seen my son John here? And I saw him turn around and look me right in the eye. And immediately, I'm talking across the gym, immediately I knew that I'd been had and that I was in trouble. Don't argue with me if it's right or wrong to go to the ball games. That's not my point tonight. My point is that when I saw him and he saw me, communication took place. And it wasn't pleasant communication. I'm not saddened or saying that he was wrong. I was the one that was completely in the wrong, because I knew that what I was doing was not right according to the rules of the house. Plain and simple. I also remember the first time that I saw my oldest child. Though there was not a look of recognition coming both ways, there was a look that I had that probably only a father is able to know and understand. I don't think that we can express it. And it happened two more times after that. The joy, the excitement, when I saw that child for the very first time. I remember a time back in college days. Leanne and I had been dating for a little while, and it was not a mutual thing, I don't believe, but when we broke up, I broke up. Go ahead and tell you, you can beat me up for it. And the next morning at breakfast, I think that I was sitting down at the table already when she came down from the upstairs in the dormitory. You come right down the steps from the girls' dorm into the cafeteria, and boom, right there I was. And the look that went between us, maybe not quite as bad as the look that Dad and I had, but no, it wasn't anger or anything. It wasn't hatred, anything like that. It was just maybe for myself, kicking myself. What in the world did you do that for? What did you break up for? Was it really that important? I think I finished up my breakfast rather quickly and took off. But then I also remember a time when the last time I had surgery. And I don't like that anesthetic stuff. I don't like coming out of it. I don't like what it does to me, how it makes me feel. It's just like, get me up, get dressed, and get out of here as soon as possible. And so when I looked up after I was starting to come awake, and I looked up and saw my wife standing there, there was something about what and who it was that I saw that brought me not the anxious look from the dating years, but it's like, would you please help me get dressed and get out of here? But I was so pleased to see her there at that point. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 1, it tells us that Isaiah, as Isaiah records this, he said that he saw the Lord also. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. What happens when you see God? What is your reaction when you have a vision or a picture of God? In Isaiah's case, it tells us that his reaction was that he saw the holiness of God. The holiness of God is what stood out to him, and the holiness of God revealed the weakness or the lacking in the life of Isaiah. Now, we're not going to stand here or sit here and argue about whether or not Isaiah was a Christian at that point. Isaiah was a prophet of God, but the holiness of God revealed to him some points of consideration. It's not just Isaiah. If you go back into the book of Genesis, you'll find that when Adam saw God, or the thought of seeing God, he hid himself. Just the thought of seeing God, he hid himself, because of the holiness of God reveals sin. We can go a little bit further and see a man by the name of Moses. When Moses was in the presence of God, what happens? In Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, he put off his shoes. Elijah in 1 Kings 19. You read about Elijah there. Elijah is having a conversation. In the midst of that conversation, he goes out and he wraps his face with his mantle when God spoke to him. What happens when you see a vision or have a vision or a picture of God? What is our reaction when we see him? Isaiah said something in his reaction. It had to do with his unclean lips. His unclean lips were revealed to him because of the holiness of God was pictured before him in a vision of the holiness of God, high and lifted up, and his train filling the temple, and the glory and the majesty that goes with that. I don't know that we want to suggest here that his unclean lips had to do with something that wasn't strictly truthful, that he had a problem with a lying tongue. I don't think we want to go there, but that's a good thing for us to think about. Because the holiness of God will reveal and will uncover the untruthfulness of the tongue. Or the backbiting tongue or lips, or the gossiping tongue or the lips, or the divisive, the divisions and the discord, and the lips that spread strife, and the lips that create stumbling blocks, and we can go on and on with all the potential that is found within the lips or the tongue. The tongue is a deadly poison. World of iniquity. What happens when we see God? You see, when we really get a picture of God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who we are, where we came from, as I mentioned this morning. It doesn't matter what we've done. When you and I get a picture of God, we will see His holiness. We will see not the benefits that He gives us, not the pleasure that He might provide for a Christian to follow Him, not the things that He would give in the way of sufficiency of His grace. But when we see God, we see Him in His holiness. And when we see Him in His holiness, what does it do for us? If you haven't caught on yet, revival is just a matter of a few days away. We need to have a vision of God fresh and anew. A glimpse of His holiness, because a glimpse of His holiness will cause us to realize that the trappings of this world are just not worth pursuing. Just not worth pursuing. The small, non-essentials will be viewed as unholy or at least unnecessary in the light of His holiness. We can spend a lot of time arguing over the non-essentials, but if we have a picture of God and His holiness, the argument of the non-essentials becomes insignificant and inconsequential. Plain and simple. I'm saying the argument of the non-essentials. And some of those non-essentials will become insignificant to where we'll say, I surrender all. We talk about the attributes of God. We focus on certain ones. God is love, and we like to focus on that attribute. We want to hang on to that attribute, not just us, but most people. Sinners want to hang on to the God is love attribute. Realizing that God is not just made up of love or not just a part of love, but love is who He is by nature. We want to hang on to that. And with that, we find that there is mercy attached to His love. We see that there is wisdom. We see that there is omnipotence and omniscience. We see that there's truth, be an attribute. But unless you're really interested in knowing the attributes of God, chances are we won't get to the point where we will understand that holiness or holy is also by nature who He is. And by nature, holy, 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 signifying who He is and what He is, would indicate that anything that is unholy is an opposition, dark side. We need to have a vision of God so that we can see His holiness. Because when we see His holiness, it would tend to loosen my grip or our grip on the things of this world in which I live. Like Isaiah, it would take on a different importance, level of importance, when we see His absolute holiness. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Lord, or the Lord of hosts in that one there. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah said, in the midst of that vision of God, I'm not a believer that Isaiah was backslidden. I'm not a believer that Isaiah was a sinner. I'm not a believer in that at all. What I am a believer in is that when he saw God in his holiness, he recognized himself as weak and infirm in his humanity. We need a vision, a renewed vision of God to restore the idea and the perfectness and the value, the necessity of holiness among us. You say, Brother Ziegler, you're preaching to a church people that is called Holiness Church. Yes, and that does not exempt us of the necessity or the need of seeing him face to face. Are you praying for revival? A glimpse of his holiness causes us to realize the trappings of this world are not worth pursuing. A glimpse of his holiness reveals us as we really are. Let's stand together tonight. We need a vision of God. It may come in the singing, it may come in the preaching, or it may come in the secret place in us preparing for that exposure in the sanctuary. Let's seek him for a fresh vision of God. Praise God. I believe that he wants to. I don't think that we're living in an age or a day when the Holy Spirit has been pulled away and unable to move among us, but I believe that it's for us in 2017. May God help us to see him afresh and anew. Praise God. Brother Franklin, would you dismiss us with prayer?